The 78-foot Tender Lone Star is currently sitting nearly upside down near the mouth of the Agushik River on the west side of the Nooshigak Commercial Fishing District. A unified command has been created to deal with the sunken tender, and a large response effort is getting organized. John Brown is with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. He confirms that an overflight of the sunken tender was conducted Monday morning, and they observed a sheen that was localized very near the vessel. That allowed the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to reopen the commercial fishery in the area that was closed on Sunday, shortly after the sinking of the Lone Star.
With the current conditions, that the sheen's, you know, just very limited within about 300 foot of the vessel, commercial fisheries thinks that they can open up the set net fishery. And, of course, that's being monitored closely. And if any of the fishermen do see any sheens, they need to get their gear out of the water as soon as possible and report it to us.
Brown reports that responders were scheduled to try and boom off the vessel sometime Monday night, and divers are on their way. They will be used to try and plug the vents on the fuel tanks aboard the Lone Star. The Lone Star is sitting in about 18 feet of water and is bowed down with the stern exposed. Brown says the ongoing commercial fishery in Bristol Bay has impacted the response effort.
That's one of the sort of the difficulties we ran into is finding boats. Everybody is pretty much obligated, so we're looking at vessels, trying to get vessels that are big enough to crew some people to keep people out there. So it's one of the things Alaska Chidow and Dan McGone's working on. Currently, I think Dan was able to get a skiff, a work skiff, that we can get desorbent materials around the stern of the vessel so we can catch any of that silver sheen. But they are looking for larger vessels that can be contracted for, to be able to stay out there and monitor the situation.
At the time of the sinking, the Lone Star had about 14,000 gallons of diesel fuel on board, along with 250 gallons of unleaded gasoline. The vessel also held about 150 gallons of hydraulic oil and 150 gallons of lubricating oils. Brown confirms the U.S. Coast Guard has contracted McGone Marine Services to remove the petroleum products off the Lone Star. At last report, the Lone Star was not moving with the tide, and the anchor is apparently still in place. Brown says the situation becomes much more complicated if the Lone Star starts moving around.
So far, so good, but we do have, big tide changes there, so that's probably our worst threat now, is that vessel moving or rolling over. That would open up potentially some of the vents, so that's why we've made plugging those vents a top priority, and with any luck, we'll get that done tomorrow evening. On the low tide.
The cause of the sinking of the Lone Star will be investigated by the Coast Guard, but the crew on board reported that when the tide changed, the anchor line struck the transducer, which caused damage to the vessel's hull. The vessel then began taking on water. A Good Samaritan vessel picked up the four crew members on board the Lone Star before it sank, and they are all safe and sound. Shortly after the vessel sank, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game closed the commercial set net fishery in the area and instituted a large closed area for the drifters. Those closures have since been rescinded, and everyone is apparently back to fishing as normal. Tim Sands is the area management biologist for the Nooshigak Commercial Fishing District. He's been working with the Unified Command and has been assured that there is no contamination concerns at the moment.
They said that there was a sheen only around 300 feet around the vessel. Since then, I've talked to another gentleman over there, and he really gave me a lot of comfort. He said that there's a silver sheen, which means it's the latest sheen, a whole bunch of other stuff like that, that basically he doesn't think there's any kind of concern about contamination, because there's probably, some harbors have more oil in them than what we're seeing there. He was thinking it's just oil washing off oiled surfaces in the boat, like cables or whatnot. It's not really a release of product necessarily. So after talking to him, I feel like we made the right decision all the way around, cautious at first, and now they're here, they've assessed the situation. They don't see a concern. They're the experts, and so we're going with what we went with.
Sands is asking anybody who notices petroleum products in the water to let the Department of Fish and Game know the details, and he's requesting that fishermen keep their distance from the sunken fishing tender.
Absolutely stay away from it. Let the people who are doing the work do their work and stay out of the way. You never know when there could be something could kind of burble out of there, I guess, and contaminate people's stuff. So only the people who need to be near there should be near there, I guess.
So far, there have been no reports of contaminated fish or waterfowl. One of the Agushik Beach set netters impacted by the closure of the set net fishery on Sunday and Monday morning was Larry Bartman.
Because a couple good days of fishing, I would guess. You know, it's always hard to say how much fish is actually going through at a certain tide or a certain time. But yeah, there were fish movement happening at the time that the closure did take place, and there were some missed fishing time.
The sunken tender is sitting in a very sensitive area for migrating sockeye salmon headed to the Agushik River, and Bartman believes additional measures need to be put in place to help respond to something like what happened to the Lone Star.
Seems like we do need some kind of a response team set up in our bays for small, you know, oil spills like this in maybe perhaps in each of our districts, fishing districts across the bay. I'm not sure exactly what, if there was a plan or not, but yeah, something like that, our response of some sort set up would be good, you know, for tenders that may be involved in a situation like the Lone Star did.
The response to the sinking of the Lone Star includes a command center for the Unified Command that has been set up in a conference room at the Bristol Inn in Dillingham. So far, the response has included personnel with the Coast Guard, DEC, Alaska Shadow, Magone Marine, and the responsible party, which is Trident Seafoods. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.